Jim Madden's the first guest, along with Dewan Johnson and Lamont Cole. They're all affiliated with one of Baton Rouge's inner city schools that is showing remarkable test scores from its students. The Community School for Apprenticeship Learning is located right at the border of the 70802 and 70805 area codes, zip codes. And it is, of course, located in one of the most crime-ridden areas in Baton Rouge, if not the Western Hemisphere. And yet its students, 100% African-American student body, by the way, are performing better than the rest of the state by comparison on test scores across the board. And Jim Madden has been a board member for many years. The school's been in existence for 20 years, by the way, and with him from the start is the CEO, Dewan Johnson, who is with us, and also the councilman, Lamont Cole, who is the principal. He's the guy who's large and in charge at the Community School for Apprenticeship Learning. Let's begin with you, Professor Madden, who is the Patricia Hewlett Bowden Distinguished Professor of Mathematics at Louisiana State University, 27 years. You're on the board, and in a mission to find out how well the school is doing, did an exhaustive study of the numbers, and what do they show as far as how the students are performing?
Well, I first became aware of the school in around 2008 when I was doing some contracting work for the state. And at the time, we were looking for groups of students that were performing well. And I displayed for myself a graphic of performance in mathematics, comparative progress over a year for all the schools in the state. And there were a couple of schools that stood out at the top of the pack. And I was surprised that one of these schools was right here in Baton Rouge, and I had never heard of it before. So I called the school and said I was just wondering what you were doing and how you were doing this, and came up and visited. And I showed Dewan. I was introduced to Dewan that day for the first time, and I showed him the data that we had, and I said, "What are you doing?" And Dewan said, "Well, I don't know. Maybe you should talk to the math teacher." So he got on the intercom and he asked Miss Pasdera to come in, and she said, "Well, I'm a trained engineer. I don't have a powerful background in teaching, but I really care about what the students understand." And he called in other people into the main office, and you know, gradually it emerged that the school was just creating a wonderful atmosphere, was surrounding the kids with adults that cared about them and were deeply devoted to them. And this was really an eye-opener to me because, you know, as a mathematician and a math professor deeply interested in mathematics education, you know, my attention had always been on, well, what is the curriculum? You know, are the students doing the right drills? Are mm-hmm. they doing the right activities in the classroom? And I came away from this feeling that there was something far bigger than just the subject matter, that it was motivation and an environment where students can thrive that matters. And I was just powerfully impressed by what I saw at this
school. That was in 2008. The success story continues almost a decade later.
Well, the most amazing thing was, to me, I'm a mathematician and I have some experience in statistics, and I'm perfectly well aware that you can see unusual things, you know, happen in one year. A star lights up one year and then it is extinguished the next. But as I continued working with the data, the school kept on showing up, kept on coming up at the top of the pack. And then for a long period of time, I wasn't working with any data, but recently the Department of Education has put on its website a very, very well-organized and powerful collection of public data. So we have a seminar at the university where students work on projects that are math-related. And one of the projects that we decided to do was take that data and try to display it in ways that would be more meaningful. So we compiled all the data on school performance scores going back to 1999. And we designed a measure of progress. Basically, we took the regression line.
All right, so where did CSAL
Well, that was that. That's the remarkable story. So I was, we had finally gotten the displays developed, and I was standing in front of the class, saying, "Well, let's take a look at these." And we were browsing through them, and here, all right. So we saw school at the top of the list in terms of improvement over time, but it was a school that had become a magnet school that had, you know, changed its school population. So we went through two or three of those schools that had transformed their population, and bang, up came CSAL. And at I was standing in front of the room, you know, mm-hmm. filled with the students, and saying, "Hey, there's my school."
All right.
And they,
well,
they looked at me and said, What?
And as noted, this is a school, Dewan Johnson, the address, I'm sure most people are not familiar with this neighborhood who are living in this city right now. The address, for those who'd like to drive by, take a look, see what you're doing, is?
1555 Madison Avenue.
All right, so right in the heart of the inner city, bordering 70805 and 70802, and you've been there since day one, 20 years ago.
Yes, correct.
And how have you done it? As far as the success, how's it? It hasn't occurred by osmosis. What's your recipe?
Kind of like Dr. Madden said. You know, I wish I could go back and point to one particular method, a particular curriculum. And, of course, we do have methods, and we have certain emphasis with regards to our curriculum. But if I had to say one thing, again, it would be the people that work with us. And it was a conscious decision to try to bring some of the best people in the city to our school educators, and we worked a lot on the climate and the culture of our school because we felt that our students needed to be motivated in such a way that they wanted to benefit whatever you know methods we came up with, and so far it's worked to our advantage.
And Lamont Cole, who's now a Metro Councilman, is the principal. How many students are there?
We have 284 students this year.
284, 100% African American.
Yes,
and I
sir.
Would imagine most of them come from less than middle class backgrounds.
The majority of them, 88%.
88%.
Yes, sir.
So these are exactly the kinds of students that are labeled at risk.
To some. To me, they're just students who are desiring to learn at high levels, and we just have to figure out ways to put them in a position to be successful. And so we've been able to do that at CSAL. So I don't really give into or buy into labels of children who live in poverty not being able to learn. I simply believe you have to put them in the right situation. You have to have extremely high expectations for them. And most of the times we hear people say have high expectations and people don't really know what that means. It simply means you have to be the expectation you want to see. And so we try to model the behavior we want to see in terms of taking the work seriously, taking school seriously, and paying attention to many, many details that will contribute to the children ultimately being successful. And so we do a lot of that work. We meet with parents all summer long. We meet with families all summer long and talk about expectations. What are their expectations of us as a staff and as a school in terms of making sure that children are safe first and then academically successful? And then we talk about what our expectations are of the families and what we want to see happen. And then from there, we make an agreement that we're going to both work together to make sure that the child is the most important aspect of what we're trying to do and that the child being successful academically is priority number one. And so once we do that, we remove all of the other challenges that you might see in other schools relative to behavior, relative to a lack of communication in terms of parents with the school. We remove all of that during the summertime. I spend all my summer and my staff, we spend our entire summer working with families, talking to families about expectations. And then once schools start, we get down to the nitty-gritty. We have a very outstanding staff of educators who really, really work hard. You talk about methods and strategies that have contributed to the school's success. It goes back to creating a culture for adults to be successful in. first, because they're the ones who are going to have to do the work. They're the ones that parents and then we are entrusting with the children. And then it goes back to creating an atmosphere for the children to be safe and then be successful. And then we put that together in like a big pot of gumbo and make it work.
Mm-hmm. And you've stated you don't paddle students.
I do not. I do not paddle students, but I am very firm with children. I have had parents ask me to take more serious measures with their children at times. And, you know, we have difficult conversations.
And Jim Madden, professor of mathematics at LSU, who has been a board member for almost a decade at CSAL. John in New Roads, by the way, says, Dr. Madden was the best math teacher I had at LSU. He did a good job at a school that needed the best. So, Jim Madden, you got a fan club out there. 877-217-5757. And this is a remarkable story because it is a school in the inner city of Baton Rouge with 88% of the kids below the poverty line. And it is scoring right at the top on any number of measurements of schools across the state.
Number one charter school in the city of Baton Rouge.
Number one charter school. Okay, well, before we go to the phone lines, it is a charter school. But as we know, charter schools come in many shapes and sizes. How is this charter school different than others? Duan?
Well, first of all, it's what is considered a type 1 charter school, which means it's authorized through the local school system, East Baton Rouge Parish, in this case. And I have to say that that East Baton Rouge has done a remarkable job in working with its charter schools, and I think we're still having charter schools approved in the district. But, of course, charter schools are not alike. They're apples, oranges, and bananas, and they have the autonomy to educate the children how they see best. And of course, as we've already stated, we put a lot of time and attention to the development of the adults that work on our campuses, and we put a lot of time and attention to make sure that the culture is supportive of the students that are enrolled at our schools.
877-217-5757 for DeJuan Johnson, Lamont Cole, and Jim Madden. Candace in South Baton Rouge. Candace, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I just want to say that it's awesome to hear what's going on at CSAL. I do have two questions. One, inside the school, how many men do you all have there as far as like in teacher or any type of leadership role? And then my second question is, are any of the other charter schools trying to mimic or put some things in place to have the success that you guys have? And I will take my answer off the air.
We have 28 employees total. We have a total of 9 men out of the 28 and 2 working in leadership, myself as the principal, and then Darcy Franklin is our assistant principal.
You have athletics?
We do. We have football, where we were runner-up for East Baton Rouge Parish championship, basketball, where we were the champions for East Baton Rouge Parish, and then we have track, where we're competing in East Baton Rouge Parish championship today, undefeated volleyball team, girls basketball team competed in the Parish championship this year. So we have an outstanding athletic program under the leadership of some really, really good coaches.
How important is that to the educational process, in your judgment?
It's third on the list, the first being the safety of the children, second being academics, and then third being a participation in extracurricular activities. So it's not just sports. It's also our dance program, our cheerleading program, our acting and drama clubs. And so we try to make sure children have a variety of activities to participate in. But it's third on the list because ultimately I can have a conversation about not making a team or making or being a part of a club. But the most challenging conversation is the one about safety. So first is safety. And then secondly, we focus on academics. We're 2.6 points away from an A. We're at 97.4. And so it's important that everyone on campus, including our parents, teacher staff, custodial staff, cafeteria workers, everyone understands where we are and what our goals are. Our goal is to be the number one school in the state. When you look at the growth data that Dr. Madden has put together or done his research on, we're number 5 in terms of 772 schools in the state of Louisiana in terms of growth from 1999, and number 3 in terms of middle schools in the state of Louisiana in terms of growth. And then, again, here in the city, we're number 1 charter school, number 3 behind Sherwood Middle and McKinley Middle, which if they're not careful, we're going to catch them too.
But when you hear stories, and I'm sure you do, that kids like the ones that you're tutoring are lost causes, I'm sure that gets your ire.
That is the biggest lie, fallacy, myth in the world, that these children are lost causes. These children are our future, and we just have to find a way to make sure they first know it, they believe it, and then they are put in a position to be successful. We really spend a great deal of our time focusing on children learning versus focusing on putting them out of school for stuff like having on the wrong color shoes, not having their shirts tucked in, wearing the wrong color jackets. All of these rules that are put in place to penalize children and take them out of school, we remove that from the equation. Now, our children do wear uniforms. We do expect them to dress appropriately, but ultimately they're children. So children do what children do. And so when they're doing what normal children do, we can't penalize them for being children. We can't expect them to be the adults but then act like children in a classroom. So we treat them like children all the time and expect them to be children. And so in doing that, we're seeing great results.
Now, Candace referred to it. Why aren't people beating down your door to hear your story and replicate it?
Tough question. I would have to say we're the best-kept secret in town by design. That may not be the case after today. But my boss sitting next to me has always wanted to stay below the radar in terms of publicizing what we do. For us, it's about the work. And so it's about families trusting us to do the right things and not advertising or gaining any types of attention on the backs of the children, as much as it's about just doing the work and making sure children are successful and ultimately graduate from high school, since we do have a sister high school that's doing extremely well as well. And so we want to make sure that our focus is when they come in sixth grade, we can promise the parents they will have an opportunity to go to college if they choose to, but they will graduate from high school.
Well, how are they doing? How are the kids doing after they leave your school?
Oh, doing extremely well. We've been able to track, since we opened the high school in 2009, we've been able to track the number of students who leave CSAL and attend Madison Prep, and we have about 96% of those students who are graduating from high school and about 92% who are going on to some form of extended learning, so whether that be a four-year college, a junior college, or a trade school. And so we're extremely proud that the majority of our students are choosing to extend their learning beyond high school, and we're even more proud that we're tracking those students from 6th through 12th grade.
DeJuan, this school, it was started by Ted DeMuro, who is a real character, but a visionary, but you picked up and took it to a new level, and now it has evolved. It's much different now than it was in 1997. What are the different components?
Well, when Ted opened the school, I think his vision was an integrated project-based type of school, much hands-on as far as activities and having the curriculum driven through those projects. When I took over in 2002, it was a decision made by me and those who work with me, Mr. Cole included, to swing the curriculum back more traditionally because we realized that our students had to do well on these tests for our school to survive. And so, again, we made that decision. And so we still include components of project-based instruction, but our curriculum is more of a traditional curriculum now.
How much interaction is there with parents and others who are involved in the lives of the children in the schools?
We interact with our parents daily. We have an open door policy, so many of the parents spend a great deal of time at the school volunteering, working in the front office, working in the cafeteria, being on campus during transition to help keep eyes on the students. Parents visit every day to go visit in classrooms and observe what is happening. We want to try as best we can to keep parents informed about what we're doing at the school. The other thing, technology has allowed us an opportunity to communicate daily. So I send daily messages through text message to all of the parents, just keeping them informed about what we have going on. For instance, next week we're celebrating our teachers through teacher appreciation. So I've reminded our parents every single day to do something for the teachers next week.
DeJuan Johnson, you mentioned Madison Prep, and that's the high school. And it, too, is ranked very high. And it is a different kind of charter school, though, isn't it?
Right. It's a type 2 charter school, which means it's authorized by the Betsy board on the state level.
And the success of Madison's Prep is apparent as well. And these are kids who started sixth grade and now can go all the way through high school with you.
Yes, correct. Last year, 2016, Madison Prep was recognized as a national Blue Ribbon School for academic growth, much like CSEL, taking students from lower proficiencies to higher proficiencies. And so the SPS, the school performance score of Madison, improved drastically over the time that we've had it open since 2009. And Ms. Elisa Welsh, our principal, has done a wonderful job at our high school.
And Lamont, I suspect many of these kids who have been at this school for the last 20 years will go on, if not already, and be movers and shakers in our community and leaders, and that's what we need.
Well, they've already begun. A former CSAL, a Madison Prep student, was just drafted to the NFL. Chad Williams played at Grambling State University and was just drafted by Jacksonville, correct?
Phoenix.
And so kids are doing wonderful things. We have students who are working now as attorneys here in the city, students working as teachers here in the city. So they're doing some phenomenal work, and we're very, very proud of our CSAL alumni.
And it's a legacy that will go on and on, and I would imagine that at some point you'll have even more students. You started by saying you have 334, is that correct?
284. We don't want to get too big. It would take away from what we've been able to establish with it being a small school. But ultimately, we want to grow to about 300 students and then keep it somewhere around 300.
Hannah at LSU. Good morning, Hannah. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. My question is, do you think that what you've done at CSAL could be widely replicated across our parish?
Okay, we talked a bit about that earlier, but it's worth mentioning again. How can it be replicated, not only in inner-city schools, but everywhere else?
What I'm about to say is going to be a very, very bold statement, and I'm going to say it anyway. It can be done anywhere in the city of Baton Rouge if people are willing to put the work in. I can teach, and myself, DeJuan Johnson, and a few other staff members can teach any number of individuals here in the city of Baton Rouge how to create and sustain successful schools in the inner city if they're willing to do the work. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. The work is not hard. It's just a lot of it to do. But the only way you learn to do the work is by doing the work. And so we can teach people the right protocols, the right procedures, the right things to do. The question becomes is when they leave from being with us, when they go back into their own buildings, will they do the work the right way? Or will they take pieces of the work and try to do it their way, which we've seen has oftentimes led to failure. So you have to do it the right way. And we can teach anybody how to do it because, again, it's really not challenging. It's just you have to be willing to put the hours in. I get there in the morning sometimes at 5:45, and during basketball and football season, DeJuan and I may not leave the school until 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning. So that's a very, very long day. And for the entire day, we're working. We're doing different things to make sure things are happening the right way. We inspect what we expect so we don't end up suspects on the unemployment line. And we just try to get it done.
How do you choose your faculty?
Honestly, we choose faculty by word of mouth. We try to create a rock star type atmosphere at our organization where teachers feel like celebrities, and they do a lot of talking about the types of things we do for them and with them at the school. And so oftentimes their colleagues, their friends, people they know reach out to them. We very seldom have teaching positions open. We don't have a large turnover. People don't want to leave. And it's because we go out of our way to treat our people, our teachers, like professionals. And so because we treat them so well, typically they stay around and they get the work done. I mean, ultimately, it's about having people on your campus or in your schools who are willing to go above and beyond. And we get those people to do that because we go above and beyond and make sure they have what they need to be successful.
Well, congratulations. It's quite a story, and I'm sure we'll revisit it. Thank you for sharing your story. Lamont Cole, DeJuan Johnson, and Jim Madden. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.